This way roses are red, my love. Violets are blue.
Ooh, ooh. Good old Bobby Vinton.
You like
right?
the Bobby Vinton?
Yeah. I do.
Sure, some vintage Vinton.
Yes, I love it. Stacy Hervella is on the line with us. She's the horticulturist for Proven Winners, and you can go to provenwinners.com. How are you, Stacy?
I'm doing great. It's a big gardening weekend. How are you guys?
I am doing great. I cannot wait to plant my tomatoes. However, I need to purchase them first. I just realized
you have to do it in that order.
I have to go do that this weekend. It's warm. It's very rainy today, which is good for all the fresh sod if people have planted sod, because trust me, if you don't water it every single solitary day, it is going to die. You are from provenwinners.com, and I go there. I find a lot of information on provenwinners.com, and you can find a lot of information online, but you have to be careful, just like WebMD, all these medical things. You got to be careful about self-plant diagnosis.
Some erroneous information floating around the internet, is there? Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, you know, Pinterest, like, I love Pinterest. It's such
Me
a
too.
Fun website. But I'll tell you, when it comes to gardening information, Pinterest is probably one of the last places you should be looking, because, you know, there's a lot of things that appeal to people but don't actually work in reality. And, you know, we're all about making sure that people are successful with what they do in their garden. So I have a little tip to share. When you're looking for information about caring for plants or identifying plants online, go to Google or whatever search engine you use, type in your search term. So you would say, like, Chicago tomato planting, and then type this in, site, S-I-T-E, and then a colon, the two dots, and then .edu. And what that does is that limits all of your results to university websites. So you'll be getting all information from the University of Illinois Extension, which you can rely on. You know, it's been tested by the horticulture department at your state land grant university. So that makes sure it just sort of weeds out all of that stuff that you can't rely on and will get you information that you know you can trust.
Weeds out. I get it, Stacy. Nicely played.
Of course. There's poets.
Sure.
Way more horticulture puns where that came from.
All right. That is a great idea. So you, at the end of whatever the term is, you're searching, you know, like early girl tomatoes, then you put colon.
S-I-T-E.
Oh, you do write the site.
Yes, you have to write site, S-I-T-E, and then colon .edu.
All right, I am going to do that. There's a woman who is in a neighboring town who plants her own stuff, little seedlings in the fall, and then she has plant sales in her garage.
Oh,
and I
nice.
Kind of like to go to these.
Yeah.
And there was some beautiful plants already planted in her garden that she wasn't selling. And I said, could you please tell me what those are? And she didn't remember, so she found out and actually called me back. And it's is it Blumera? Is that a type of
Brunnera? Oh, yeah, Brunnera.
Brunnera, yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Does that look like a forget-me-not kind of?
It does. It looks very much like a forget-me-not. But one of the advantages that Brunnera has over a forget-me-not is that the foliage sticks around. So like a true forget-me-not, it will just sort of grow in spring and then kind of die back to the ground, especially if it gets hot and it won't be there anymore. Whereas Brunnera is a perennial, so it has really nice silvery foliage that sticks around all season. So you have something to look at, even when it's not flowering.
There are these unbelievable, beautiful little blue flowers. Now, do they blow all over the place and, you know, make little colonies everywhere? Because I think my neighbor has a bunch on her front yard as well as her garden beds.
The Brunnera is not super spreading itself around, but true forget-me-not will definitely spread itself around every which way.
All right.
Wendy just showed me a picture of it, Stacy, and you know what it looks like to me is whenever I go in to buy flowers to my wife, like if I'm apologizing, so that's a couple times a week, when you get the big flowers, they'll put flowers like this in as kind of like filler almost. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, forget-me-not growing, so self-sowing in your yard or your neighbor's yard, you know, you can cut it. It will stay for a cut flower for a few days, and then you help prevent more seed from spreading. I know that's the kind of thing, it's really hard when you're trying to identify a plant and you don't know. I wanted to mention that there's also a lot of Facebook groups that are geared towards plant identification, or you can go to our Facebook page anytime and post a photo of something, you're just wondering what the heck it is, and I always try to get back to people as soon as I'm back in the office. Don't really get back to people too quick on the weekend. But if you post a photo on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/PWColorChoice, I'll get you an answer. I love a good plant identification mystery.
Good, because you know what? You're the only one to answer it. There are so many times I walk around and look in the neighbor's gardens and go, wow, that's really beautiful, and right. I don't even know how you go by identifying it.
Yeah, it can be hard. You know, it's really intimidating, and you know, a lot of times, even if you have the chance to speak to the homeowner, they're like, oh, I don't know, that was here when I moved in, or I planted that a few years ago and I lost the tag and I have no idea. So, you know, just being able to talk to the person who lives there isn't always a surefire way to find out either. And, you know, really walking around your neighborhood is such a great way to find out what does well, you know, in your area so that you can be assured of success. So, you know, don't hesitate to rely on us or one of those other Facebook plan identification groups if you've got those kind of questions.
I bet that would be the highest compliment you could ever be paid, Wendy, is if somebody was walking by your house and they saw something in your garden and said, what is that? I want to do that. That's high praise, isn't it? You would
it
love
is.
That. Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
Stacy, if you're ever sick and you need someone to fill in with that flower identification, I would love to fill in. Because I would just, no matter what picture they sent me, I'd go, those are jonquils, no matter what it was.
We can also make up fun names, you know, right. And there's always that opportunity as
those
well.
Those are Dipsy Doodles. You know what those are. I've seen those a million times. Sure.
I'm a
Dipsy Doodle. We are talking to Stacy Hervella. She's the horticulturist for Proven Winners, a great plant brand. You can find them at your favorite garden centers. I have to tell you, I was driving through a garden center parking lot to get somewhere else, and my husband said, don't ever do that again on a busy Saturday, because they get really busy this time of year as people are picking out their plants, annuals and perennials, and veggies to plant this weekend. So if you find an off hour, they'll answer your questions, won't they?
They will. And, you know, they are also a really good resource for local information. But, yeah, you know, if you go on a, you know, Saturday in May or early June, they're probably going to be really frantic. And, you know, you might not be able, they don't be able to spend the time answering your questions. So, you know, in that case, I would say try to go on a weeknight after work. A lot of garden centers are open later. Or especially once things slow down, like after mid-June and through the summer, if you have any questions, you know, a garden center employee would be a lot more available to help you and spend the time, you know, that you need to get your issues addressed.
We are going to take phone calls. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Stacy, we're going to take a quick break. Stacy Hervella, horticulturist for Proven Winners. Go to their website. Really, there's some great literature, some great ideas for flower beds and various areas to plant. Because, you know, is it a sunny area? Is it a shady area? Go to provenwinners.com. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I tried out that crazy little tip that Stacy Hervella gave us when you have to be careful of what's on the internet. I'm looking up the purple snake root that I just showed you a picture of, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
It creates this amazingly white frond that sticks up, and it smells like sweet plumeria, like you're in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the purple snake root, and then I made a space and put site. colon.edu and Cornell University popped up, Stacy, so I know I can trust my information that I get there.
Yeah.
That's pretty sure. Awesome tip.
I use it a lot.
We have some questions. A lot of people will be planting their vegetables. Got to be honest with you, Mother's Day is a good time where people plant things. It was not warm enough. We've had some frost.
Right.
It's been really cold. It looks like we're going to have a really hot summer, according to Tom Skilling. So veggies can go in the ground this weekend. Nancy, did you have a question for Stacy Hervella?
I do. I live just west of the city, and I have a little herb garden in the back, and I'm not, you know, a great gardener or anything, but, you know, they do fine, except cilantro. Whenever I plant it, it's fine for just a little while, and then it's just, I don't know, gets all leggy. And
yeah. Me too. And
that's the end of it.
No success with it at all.
Well, I absolutely love talking to people about cilantro, because here's the thing about cilantro. Grocery stores have set us up with unreasonable expectations about what to expect from cilantro, but you can grow it. What you need to understand is that cilantro has a very, very short life cycle. So it goes from the seed that you plant to flowering and setting seed very quickly, sometimes in as few as 20 days. So what you need to do is to plant cilantro often. It's not going to be like basil where you can plant it once in the early, you know, in the mid-spring and harvest off it clear up until frost. With cilantro, you need to have a supply of seed and put like 5 seeds in the ground every week, every 10 days, every 2 weeks, depending on how much you use. And then that way you'll always have a nice fresh crop of clean leaves. You cut those off, let the plant go, do its thing, and you'll have a new crop to replace it. So it's not anything that you are doing. It really is just the nature of the plant.
Nancy, did you have any idea you had to keep replanting it? Didn't you think it was just going to be like chives where you could just harvest it all summer long?
I really did think that. And then I thought, well, maybe if I keep pruning it back, and I kept cutting it.
Me too.
It died.
Yeah, it's, you know, like I said, the grocery store sets people up for an unrealistic expectation. But the simple fact is, if you plant it, you know, weekly, every 10 days, every 2 weeks, depending on how much your family needs, that will keep you in a constant supply of nice, fresh leaves.
And you can just dig a hole and keep planting where the plant already is?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, just, you know, dig it out or, you know, plant it in another spot, you know, if you're still harvesting off the other one. You know, the hotter it is, the faster cilantro is going to go through that life cycle. But, you know, it, no matter what, even under the best conditions, it's going to be a fast life cycle.
And you recommend seeds because, Nancy, I don't know about you, but I got like a big plant of cilantro at
Me
the
too.
Garden center, and you plant that. What happens then, Stacey? Do you buy seeds in addition?
Yeah, I always recommend starting from seed instead of starting from a plant in the case of cilantro. If you already have it, here's what you can do. Let it go to flower, and then it's going to set seed, and then you can actually let those seeds dry out on the plant and plant them yourself. So it's kind of like growing your own seed supply.
And it'll keep coming throughout the season.
Well, the plant will die. Like I said, it's once those seeds have ripened, the plant's going to die no matter what. But then you can take those seeds, use them to plant it, and basically keep the cycle going, and then let those plants set seed and so on.
Interesting. Thank you, Nance.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy planting. And Gary has a question for you, too. She's Stacey Hervella, horticulturist. I said that wrong. Don't take offense. Horticulturist for Proven Winners at provenwinners.com. Gary, Stacey.
Hey, Gary, what's going on?
I was wondering about castor beans. You know anything about those? I used to grow castor bean plants. You can't buy them in the nurseries, but I used to plant the seeds.
Mm-hmm. What's a castor bean?
That's what castor oil comes from, right?
They get 10, 12 feet tall sometimes. And I had people ring my doorbell saying, what kind of plant is that? You know, I had them from my front yard and all over, but they were tropical plants. They're huge.
Yeah.
And I know they're poisonous. The seeds are.
They are extremely toxic. But, yeah, you know, it is a very unique plant, very showy, and a lot of fun to grow. It's one of those things that, not unlike cilantro, you're going to need to start from seed. Not a lot of garden centers are going to start
That's what I did. I started from seed in February.
Oh, that's a little too early, I think. You know, it's such a fast-growing plant.
Oh, yeah. It's like a bean. It's a bean, so.
Yeah. I would recommend actually just direct sowing the seed as soon as it gets warm. So, like, you probably could have started the seed in the ground, you know, in some nice, rich soil last week, maybe even the week before. Keep it watered, and that will really get you off to a better start and a healthier plant. So, I would do that.
It's a looks like a tropical plant when you've
got them. It is a tropical plant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I was wondering if they still had them around, but
definitely.
I don't see them in the seed catalogs even more. The seeds.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are really aware of the toxic aspect. But, you know, they are around, and I see them here in Grand Haven at a lot of houses just as an ornamental. So they're definitely still out there. You might just have to look a little harder.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
Stacey, what do they do to it? Because when they convert that into castor oil, that's obviously not poisonous. What are they doing to it to make it non-poisonous?
You know, I don't actually know very much about how they process it if they do the seed. I know, like, if they just press the oil out of the seed, and then that may not be toxic. But I know if you eat the actual seed or if it's dried and powdered, it is
it'll knock you out. Yeah.
It will kill you.
Yeah.
It'll just knock you out. So.
Right.
What I've really noticed right now is the favorite part of my summer garden, spring garden, is when I'm a big fan of the allium. They look just like a big purple globe on one single stalk.
Yeah.
Looks like they should be on Mars or something. I have various varieties of those, and then ornamental onions, which also come up in a little globe like that. These are poisonous to dogs, aren't they?
You know, I don't know offhand. This would be another great opportunity for using that .edu command. That way, you know, you're limiting yourself to veterinary programs at schools. I don't know. I don't have a dog. Of course, you know, it's always a good idea to not let your dog, you know, chew on anything in the garden. You know, just to be on the safe side, because you never know, even if it's something that you can eat, because the alliums and the ornamental onions are true onions. I mean, they're very closely related to the regular
onions. And onions are bad for dogs, so I guess I know.
So, yeah, I would keep the dog away, yeah.
They're really pretty, though. Can I eat those onions?
Like the ornamental ones, you can. I wouldn't really recommend eating an allium,
ornamental alliums.
But the other ones you can, yeah.
Because the chives, I notice sometimes... they come back every year, which is just amazing to me that, like, all of a sudden the snow ends and your giant little chive bush is there, whatever it is. It's not really a bush. Mm-hmm. And those also come to a head with purple flowers as well. Is just that part of the onion family?
It is part of the onion family. And I'll tell you, I'll give you another little bonus tip on chives. After they flower, a lot of times the plants get kind of sparse. So after the plant flowers, finishes flowering, just whack it back to the ground. Just cut it, you know, grab it into like a ponytail and cut it right off. And it will put out a whole new flush of growth. And that way you will be able to continue to harvest fresh chives clear up until frost.
See, common sense tells you not to cut off all those chives. But you're saying do it because then it's going to produce more.
Right, because what happens after it flowers is that it gets kind of... woody, and it just doesn't put out a lot of foliage anymore. So you will have like a little dip there where you're not going to be able to harvest any chives for maybe about 2 weeks. But it's more than worth it because I'll tell you, if you have more than one chive plant, try it with both of them. You won't believe the difference.
You are amazing, and you make my life happy, Stacy, because really in the summer in Chicago, all I have to do is garden, and I can't wait to do it this weekend.
I'm with you on that. I can hardly wait to get home myself.
Thank you so much, Stacy Hervella. She is horticulturist for Proven Winners, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Yep. Have
Bye,
a great
Stacey.
Weekend.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim with the news, and then we'll talk cars a little bit with our friend Tom Appel. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.